Hello, this is Eric Lee from Labor Start, and this is our weekly podcast. We're pleased to be talking this week to Jan Willem Houdrian, who is the General Secretary of the European Public Services Union, EPSU. Welcome to our show, Jan.
Hey, Eric, nice to be here.
Jan, I wanted to start with something that's happening actually this evening. It's Thursday, the 25th of April. And for those of us who know our history or who were around then, we remember the anniversary of the Portuguese Revolution. Can you tell me what you're planning to do in Brussels tonight?
Sorry, Eric, it's not in Brussels, it's in Antwerp. And in Antwerp, a student organization linked to the fascist extreme right-wing party is holding wants to do a march in Antwerp, and with the anti-fascist movement we will try to stop that march or even make it impossible. And as you said, it fits very well in the theme on the 25th of April. In Italy, the trade unions are celebrating that they chased the fascists and Nazis out of Italy in 1945. And 50 years ago, the trade unions, the left movement, under the banner of the soldiers, chased out the last remnants of fascist regimes in Portugal. So in some way, fitting that we do that tonight in Antwerp, sadly. That it still is necessary to do this.
So I might add that the Italian trade unionists and left had a little bit of help from the Allied forces kicking the Nazis out. Well, that's just the historian in me speaking. EPSU just had a meeting, you and I guess others, with the Ukrainian trade unions to discuss what happens next in Ukraine, what happens after the war. Can you tell us about that meeting and about in general what's going on in Ukraine?
Yes, I think many of your listeners will be aware that that's now more than 2 years we are seeing the results of the aggression of Russia in the Ukraine, the terrible destruction which is brought upon cities and the people and workers in the Ukraine, and of course the occupation in the south and east of Ukraine. So we had a conference in Lublin, that's a city in Poland, as the ETUC, the European Trade Union Confederation, and the European Trade Union Federations, EPSU, but also my comrades of ETF, Industrial, EFAT, and so on, were also present. And we were discussing with the Ukrainian unions, first of all, what's going on, what they're facing, and what they need. The incredible importance of solidarity with the Ukrainian workers, people, and the unions, so important that that continues. The solidarity was unprecedented after the invasion in Ukraine. Many of our affiliates and many people in Europe, but across the world, actually contributed to the solidarity funds, and that's helping the unions take over in a very difficult situation. Helps also with the humanitarian assistance they are giving to the displaced persons, to their own members. So that was part of one part of the conference. The second part of the conference was about learning from the Ukrainian unions what they need for the future. And of course, the Ukrainian unions call for more assistance, more solidarity, certainly also for more arms to help them fight. But we were also discussing already the future. What kind of vision do we have as a union movement, Ukrainian, European unions, for the future of the Ukraine, and how can we ensure, and not unimportant because that's not a given, how can we ensure that the Ukrainian unions have a seat at a table when there is a discussion about the future of their own countries, about how the health system, how public administrations, how social protection systems, and so on and so forth, are being developed, reconstructed, rebuilt, and that the unions have a seat at a table. As I said, it's not a given, because in a number of meetings where governments and international institutions, including the European Commission, but also the financial institutions like the World Bank and the IMF, are discussing the future of the Ukraine, the unions were not involved. And we do know there's going to be massive public funding for the reconstruction. Many governments have already committed to that. And one of the things we as a European and Ukrainian trade union movement are asking is that public funding and public assistance is also linked with, first of all, with deep down with a vision we have for the Ukraine, a more equal, democratic, socially just society, but also practically that funding, for example, in the construction industry or agriculture or transport or in public services is used with respect for trade union rights, is used with respect for collective bargaining, and of course isn't given to companies which are avoiding to pay their taxation, are avoiding to adhere to environmental obligations, and so. So that was one of the discussions we were having with our colleagues in the Ukraine.
And while we're on that part of the world, I noticed that on your website you make solidarity one of your key priorities. And on the solidarity front, you talk a lot about Belarus. Now, there was a recent International Day of Solidarity with Belarus. Are you fighting an uphill battle there? Because I imagine most people know very little about Belarus.
I think that is probably true. As with so many conflicts, many people don't know enough about them. It's easier always to turn your head away from those conflicts. But in the union movement, we are providing a lot of solidarity and support to the Belarusian trade unions. I mean the independent Belarusian trade unions, because there are still also government trade unions in Belarus. And these are unions which are completely dominated by the government and actually working in support of the government. They wouldn't lift a finger to help their colleagues of the independent unions, which are repressed and where many unionists are in jail. So we are helping practically through financial support, politically, to putting pressure on governments to keep Belarus in the spotlight. And as you know, the International Labour Organization has also very exceptionally done an inquiry about Belarus and condemned the government of Belarus, so the dictatorship of Lukashenko. So we're providing and continue to provide lots of support to the Belarusian trade unions.
Okay, so we have very little time left, but I wanted to just get a few quick words from you about, I've been seeing on your website and other European trade union websites, the problem of austerity.
Eric, don't open my mouth about it.
We won't talk about that. But you want to say a few words?
I mean, as your listeners know, we faced austerity, and that means a tax on collective bargaining, a tax on trade union rights, but especially a tax on public funding for public services, leading to privatization, commercialization of our public services. As of 2009, 2010, supported by European economic governance rules, which introduced stringent fiscal policies. And we're seeing a return of that. And recently, the European Parliament adopted new policies, making austerity, programmed and coordinated austerity, a new feature of the European Union policies we can expect over the years. And already practically in France, in Finland, we already see cuts in public funding, leading to wage freezes for public servants, leading to attacks on trade union rights in Finland, for example. And just the other day, and that's then brings us back to the war in Ukraine. Just the other day, the UK government, one of the ministers said, well, we're going to spend more on defense to help Ukraine, which one could argue is a positive thing. But he said that's going at the expense of public service jobs, about 70,000 public service jobs, according to the PCS, one of the unions in the UK, are at stake here. So And that is absolutely not the sort of trade off we want to see. We want to see more flexible economic policies, allowing for investment in the green digital transition, to invest in an industrial policy, to implement public services to ensure rights people have under the European pillar of social rights, but also that governments have to make the choice to bring back fair taxation. I mean, we cannot continue to allow that the rich and the corporations are escaping paying their fair share of taxes. So that's the choice that needs to be made.
Well, thank you for ending on a very depressing and bleak note.
I wouldn't call that depressing. I mean, there's a lot of support for going in that direction. Yes, it's tough, but there is a project of, let's say, hope we have against the project of fear, and that brings us back to the start of your conversation. The extreme right, that's a project of fear for something else. We have a project of hope for a better future.
I hope you win, and we're
there.
We all do. We'll work with you every step of the way. Jan Willem, thank you so much for this call. We will talk again probably in a few months. See how well we've done.
With pleasure.